Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the program. If you're new to the program, my name is Michelle Mache. I kind of happen to be the host, the pilot, sometimes the pilot, sometimes the chat, who's my co-host, co-pilots, sound engineers, they're the pilot. They help ground the energy and keep things going. There's a lot of amazing information and insight in the chat room. Those of you that are new, introduce yourself. But long-time listener participants there, people that really care and have been walking a soul path connected to their own spirituality, awakening to their gifts and putting them out there in the world. So it's a very inspiring place to connect. And of course, we have our other part of the program that makes it all happen, those of you that call in, the listener participants as well. And then, of course, you guys that listen via the archives, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio, I want to say hello to all of you also. Woo! So much going on this morning. I'm totally majorly multitasking right now, which I love. I love doing. Women do so well. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, yeah, remember, you know, primal times, women, children in one part of the house or in the yard or in the fields, one strapped to them, cooking, gathering the fruits and nuts and the berries, and other some such, or maybe am I romanticizing it all? I don't know. Anyway, lots going on and we'll be diving in. We had welcome guests also. If you do have a question or comment and you want to get on air, press 1 on your keypad. And the number to call in is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. Everybody, I hope you hear me, callers, because I see a lot of callers in the queue. And that just lets me know that you're not listening at work or while you're vacuuming or in a marathon or riding your bike and that it's, you know, that it's okay to pick up. So let me know. And again, the number to call in, 347-539-5122. And of course, you can always email your questions in, as well as guest suggestions, topic suggestions, et cetera, or just your feedback on the program. And that email is awakeningsradio@gmail.com. That's awakeningsradio@gmail.com. So yeah, my multitasking, I had my house clean, floors are done, everything's so nice. I have a sitter coming in to take care of Yoshi. I'm going out of town and I come in and there's like a trail of ants from my back door outside. And I mean a trail. I mean like a, I don't know, 3-lane highway in the middle of everything. And so I had to address that. That was like a little wrench, a little something that didn't need to be in my day. But those of you, and I want to kind of open up to this, again, I've been writing a bit on this in my soul insights, my weekly insights that go to the people that I work with, collaborate with, those people that are studying with me and on the spiritual path with me, part of the Soul Path programs and spiritual integration programs. And then, of course, I do the monthly, although I didn't do May, and that's because there was some computer issues. So I just decided, give yourself, just let it be. And then my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, and then on Facebook and Instagram. So I've been connecting a lot about animal medicine and looking at the signs. And especially, everyone, this retrograde, I want to touch a little bit on this, and if anybody has questions about how it personally affects you, you can call in again, and that number is 347-539-5122. So those of you that know you have a animal totem, which is about 7 to 13, you know, animal beings that you kind of, and definitely if you have a dog or a cat, they're part of your animal medicine repertoire, if you will. Some people call them familiars. But there are specific guides that are helping you that are just in a different form. And if we subscribe to the oneness principle, we know we're all one. We're just different forms or different expressions of the one. And so many times when we're together, we're connecting or attracting different parts of ourselves, or even beyond ourselves, different parts of the all that is, or God. And so the soul is looked at as the individual or individuated aspect of the all that is. I'd like to say, like, we're all part of one pie, but different slices are a little different. Maybe it's a strawberry pie. Some pies have, slices have more strawberries, some less, some more whipped cream. If you're using agave, maybe some taste a little sweeter, some a little more, you know, so different. So we all are part of the same, you know, holographic experience and expression of life, multidimensional, multifunctional, that we're all coming here to kind of connect and play and share and learn and grow. And, you know, that's just us summing it up, because we're not getting into that right now. But so when you're having a lot of change in your life, even if you're not shamanically trained or if you haven't done any work like that, I always say, look for the signs. Look to what's happening in your environment, what's showing up. And that could be people, that could be situations. For me lately, it's been a lot of animal beings, insects. I posted the picture of the wonderful wasp that I got to connect with that I didn't even realize had this major stinger on it. And I was, you know, about a foot, inches to foot away from it, taking pictures. So what I like to do, now I know some of the meanings, sometimes I like to tune in and say, okay, well, let me get a fresh perspective. There's some wonderful books. I like Jamie Sams, who I knew kind of back in the day. I love her animal medicine book and cards. Animal Speak by Ted Andrews. And of course, nowadays, all of that is online as well, and you can on YouTube. And but I would say when you're tuning into the animal being or the insect or whatever, first, just like doing dream interpretation, which I'm also trained in, as a lot of you know. So if you want to call in with those questions, you can. Look at what your first response is and how you view that animal or animal being or specific breed or type. And that's going to give you some insight. And then take a look at what they objectively mean. And that's going to give you even more insight. And you will find when you are, crows have a lot to do with major change. I've been craving, one of my personal totems is hawk. And where I live now, I used to see them all the time. They used to land on my deck. When I'd go jogging, they usually two would jog with me. They weren't jogging, but they were soaring or flying with me. And we're quite low, quite like 3 to 4 feet from me, maybe 5 feet at the most. So I haven't had that in a while. And then I was blessed. I went to an event for Mother's Day at a park in Santa Monica, and there were there. They were there with the crows. So there was a hawk. So look and see, what are you getting? You know, spiders have a lot to do with creativity, but also drama. So sometimes when we have a lot of drama in our life, it's signaling that we need to tap more into our creativity. Because as you know, think of drama, comedy, drama. Drama is a form of creativity. You know, what do we create in movies and films and in plays, you know, since Aristotle's time? And definitely the Shakespearean time, it really kicked off. But plays about our life. So if you're getting, you know, ants, of course, industrialists, I've been getting a lot of insects and animal beings that tend to hang out in packs or groups, and I'm working a lot with community, so that makes sense. And then, of course, the ant also is industrialness, being industrial. And kind of getting things done and working together. Tamara put spider, hummingbird, heron, hawk. Yeah, heron is another personal of mine too. And I've been seeing a lot of hummingbirds. Even had to rescue one that got stuck in after a meeting with this friend of mine that's also a client and a producer. We TV producer. There was one stuck in her, 17th floor, 20th, 30th floor, apartment. And so look and see what do those mean. Tamara, Ant's message is about working nonstop towards your goals and forging ahead for the good of the whole. And this ant medicine calls to our attention, patience, perseverance, and endurance. Oh, my God. Thank you, Tamara. Yeah. Drinking my water. Crystal Bold. Hey, happy MM day to you, too. Michelle Mache Day. I love it. It's our day to connect. Yeah. I love our connecting here. Yeah, and I am working a lot on patience. I always am, though. Different levels of it, I find. It's especially right now, there's a lot of change in the air. There kind of sometimes always is, but right now, I call it directional change. It's larger change that you don't know. You've been plotting ahead, like Tamara put, working nonstop. And I actually had to pull myself out of some projects, which I normally don't kind of like to do, and just kind of have more space and go within. And I think we had one of our amazing listeners, I think it was Kate, last week called in and was talking about how she felt things were kind of at a standstill. And, you know, my perception is, you know, from personal experience and, you know, working with how the soul unfolds, is when that seems to happen, it's a call to go deeper. So the patience is, it may seem like not a lot happening on the outside, but there's this amazing inner process or going deeper. And things like meditation, contemplation, just being open, contemplating where have you been in your life? What's bringing you joy now? Just observing, really slowing down to observe. And I will say Native Americans, peoples, indigenous peoples overall have had that in, or people that are more spiritually based or have a spiritual routine tend to do that. Mystics, poets tend to do that. You can't write, artists, you can't write about something or draw something, or even if you're a singer-songwriter, you have to reflect. So a big part of this cycle right now is really about reflection, that self reflection, and letting what naturally you're drawn to kind of bubble up, you know, inside you, in a sense, you know, let it come forth, and not to be pushing. That's the key. When do we push? You know, when do we do the effort? See, a lot of times people think that the effort is doing something external, but sometimes the effort is just going within, or the persistent effort is persisting in one direction. It's the Five of Wands and the Tarot, which persistent effort can become struggle if you don't release your stronghold on whatever it is you're trying to do. And so the stronghold could be saying, I've got to make this happen, or it's got to be this way. But the persistent effort may just simply be going within. It may be just allowing a time of reflection. So let's dive in. Guests, everyone, if you'd like to talk to me, if you'd like to say hey, if you'd like to vocalize, if you'd like to chant, if you'd like to sing, if you'd like a reading, a dream interpretation, talk about meditation, spirituality, all things soul, that number is 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad. Let me know you want to get on air. Let me know. Okay, so I'm going to answer a couple email questions, and then we're going to get to lovely callers. So we have a question from Nicole. Hello, Michelle. I'm hoping you can offer some advice. I've had some sort of spirit or entity Feels like a big blob of lots of energy. Press up to me when I've been in bed sleeping two times now. Once last night, just before 4 a.m., that's usually the time between 3 and 5, or 3 and 4 most likely, but sometimes 5 a.m. And again on March, the full moon. Both times I pushed it off me. When it happened in March, I was on my back and felt it on top of me. I pushed it off. My partner actually saw it and said it was an older, frailish man with a brimmed hat. Last night I was laying on my side sleeping and it was kind of spooning into me from behind. It seemed like it took a lot of effort to get it off me. It feels big and heavy. I've been doing smudging and laid out crystal grid in March after the first incident, and I usually protect myself for bed every night. I'm not really sure what to do or why it's getting in bed close to me. Should I be concerned, aside from already being super concerned? That's a good question. I've had that happen myself, and also I've had sometimes when I'm sitting, it hasn't happened in a while, but, you know, you're laying in bed and then you feel a depression behind you, like someone just sat down. You're like, oh, okay, hello to you too. How you doing, right? Let me tune in on this a little bit. Now, I want to say something, you know, as you open more, these kinds of beings usually come astrally. Sometimes they're aspects of us. Sometimes they're relatives. Sometimes they're beings that are just passing through. If you think of the dimensions, the interdimensional connection that we have, kind of like a roadway, freeway, sometimes people are just passing through. And if you're open to them, you can chat, you can do whatever, or they just hang around. There may be some interest, just like people, you know, walking by your garden, you're in the front yard or something, they're looking in, passing by. I usually, in that case, always ask what they want, or I just tell them, look, don't visit me right this way. This is kind of creeping me out. You know, if you want to telepathically tell me what you want. Usually if they're just passing, if it happens once or twice, they're usually passing through and there's something that they're want to relay to you. You know, I'm kind of feeling this is a family member. Now, why spooning? Sometimes it's just that you're laying in that way and that's the way for them to get the attention of you. But you can also say, don't do that. Stand up or stand there. You know, or come to me in meditation. So you have the power in this. Remember, spirit, you know, has to be animated through life force energy, through form. I mean, everything is life force energy, but it has to come through physical form. So if a being isn't in physical form, you're going to feel them energetically, which is the subtle energy, which is, it's still, how to explain it, it's still form, but it's less formlessness. It's not so dense. It's not what we call, we're gross matter. We're denser. And so these beings conjure up in the subtle energy. You can take lemongrass. Smudging really doesn't get rid of, smudging has a different effect. A lot of people think smudging gets rid of beings, and it doesn't. It's a cleansing or clearing energy of stagnant or stuck energy, usually. You can, if you want to use sage, I would say add some lavender to it, okay? Specifically for having beings kind of move on, there's angelica, which is an herb, or angelica in Espanol, and lemongrass helps to disperse. The other thing is just your intention and just telling, which moving them on down the road, saying this is enough. You know, I'm not having this, I'm not wanting this, or, you know, just like anybody, if you kind of snap at them or are very firm, they do tend to move on. So I would try that and then let me know, because it could just be somebody passing by, or it could be a guide, or it could also be an aspect of you. I cannot tell you how many people I work with that they have what we call thought forms that get animated. This is something good for everyone to know as well. When we have bunches of unhandled issues or beliefs, sometimes it's been, I've seen this in families where there's a lot of criticism or judgment, and there's a lot of anger and people can't release that anger. What is thought? What is thought? It's energy, right? Thought forms. You can measure thinking. This is why telepathically you can pick things up. There's actually even devices that can measure the emotional charge in thought, right? And we know thoughts affect our denser physical body. They affect our mood, our hormones. So everything is energy. So if you have enough energy in one direction, or it keeps accumulating, that's what we are, actually. Accumulated, that's what the soul is. It's enough accumulated charged energy. Charged doesn't always mean negative. You know, it doesn't mean not non-life enhancing. Charged, alive, something has a lot of animation. When we see a person that's very angry or very exuberant or very enthusiastic, they're charged. They have a lot of energy congealing within them that they're expressing outwardly. So you could say that's kind of what a soul is. I mean, there's enough energy, resonant frequencies in one, going in enough in one direction that it creates physical form, you know, various physical forms. So we want to be aware, usually when sometimes unhandled or unresolved issues that are energetic do move into that next level of energy, more denser form, into the thought form. And if they get animated enough in the thought form, they can become a denser physical form. And that usually plays out on the astral plane, which corresponds to the emotional body. I once did some depossession work on a woman that it was her own self taking on a lot of criticism religiously and of a family origin about herself. And there was a lot of self-hate. Now, I'm not saying this is not unical, so I'm not going there, but this is just kind of an interesting side note to show you what we can manifest. And that self-hate manifested as this beastie thing attacking her. But it was her. It was an aspect of her that had to be integrated and resolved. And sometimes we see this with people that have unhandled emotional, especially family of origin, little inner child issues, where they literally turn into a beast, you know, and we all kind of touch on that to some degree. But we see people that at the flip of a switch, they get into this beastie mode. Something takes over them. Well, it's possible to have that also on the etheric plane. It doesn't necessarily have to manifest into a denser physical, you know. It'll be felt energetically. Okay. But now we've got another one. Michelle, you've been helpful in the past. Thank you so much. I need you to shed some light in my current situation. I have two questions. We spoke of a TED, T-E-D, okay, and you have told me that we're not communicating or speaking the same language. Somehow if I continue to pursue this, I may end up reliving old wounds. My question is, are we not compatible? Would he be honest with me at some point? And then about job changes. And then we've also spoken in the past about job changes, and you've told me you didn't see any changes until early April of this year. We are currently in May, and I have just applied for a position that described everything I ever wanted in a job. Do I have a chance? Yes. Now, the thing with the TED, I feel like it's better when you guys call in with these kind of real definitive personally questions like this. And you've got the date of birth. I'm feeling that this person is maybe a soulmate, but a learning mate, a helpmate. Maybe you guys are learning from awareness of each other, of opposition. Sometimes we learn in life about what it isn't, and then sometimes we learn about what it is. Sometimes we meet in life a lot of this isn't it, this isn't it, this isn't it, or I thought this was it, but this is not what I really need and want. And then sometimes in life we meet, oh, this is what I want. This is it. Because, you know, the world operates in these opposites, right, or complements, this polarity, called the polarity plane. So I'm feeling this kind of mirroring, and would he be honest with me at some point? I want to say you be honest with you about what you need and want. If you're not getting enough. So we do have to compromise in relationship, but there's also some basics that need to be met. And they're generally the same for everybody, for everyone, with some individual aspects. Okay. So we're respect, communication, showing up on time. I mean, there's certain things. then I know people that are with people that they're with people that are chronically late and it doesn't bother them. So I don't know. But there are some basics that have to be met. I think call in. I'm getting for you a major turning point, kind of a restructuring of how you view yourself individually, how you see yourself as an individual person. So I'm getting you changing your perspective. Now, here is something to know too. Sometimes we're in a place in our life where we're just learning or relearning what it is that we really want or what's important to us. We're connecting more to our authentic self. We're living more soul-fueled, spirit-connected. So sometimes you'll get people along the path that are, again, showing you what you want, what you don't want, or people that are growing as well. They're in that phase, okay? Then there are those, once you've grown enough and kind of connected to your soul more and you're living more, you know, anchored in your soul, that's usually when you get the soulmated, the twin soul or the soulmate that's going to be the life mate. It's usually when you've gotten to a certain point where it's that's your path, you know, where this is it, you know, you're still learning from each other, but you basically have a handle on who and are what you're about. Now it's about who's going to play with me, who's going to be those colleagues, those playmates, you know, who are we going to do these joint projects with? You know, is my individual life and my partner's individual life, is there enough harmony, enough resonance, coherence there that my life is enhancing their life and their life is enhancing my life, and then we can do something together, okay? So I talked about that. Those of you that have these kind of questions, I did a whole show on relationships from a soul point of view, and I went into soulmates, twin flames, twin souls, life mates that are soulmates or soulmated life mates. And I discerned why, you know, we meet a lot of soulmates. But which is the one that's going to be that life mate or partner and what to look at. And so I go into this. So I think I got a lot of great feedback on the program, on the show. And I think when you have these kind of questions, if you listen to that. The other thing is I go into this on my daily OM course, Navigating Your Greatest Soul Shift, and you know, it's very reasonably, the exchange is very reasonable on it. And I think it's kind of a good thing to have kind of in your little toolkit. So as you're relating with people, and these could be collaborative or collegial relationships also, as you're connecting with various people, you can kind of see what is it? Is this a mirroring partnership or relationship that they're mirroring where I used to be and where I'm reflecting where I'm going? And am I doing that for them? You know, is this an inspirational where we're inspiring each other, you know, or have we come together to do something together? But it needs the self-reflection or contemplation on these kinds of questions definitely needs to be done in a meditative state, in a more neutral state. Oh, Shell put, the relationship show was very insightful, loved it. Thanks, Shell. Yeah, I'll do more of those. I really love speaking. Because we are relational to everything and everyone. I mean, that's kind of what I've been sharing with the plants, the trees, the birds, the hummingbirds, ants, you know, the hawks, the doggies, the cats, other people. Is what we see or what are we experiencing? Are we experiencing a lot of traffic in our life? Those of you that, you know, drive, that slow down, patience, what, you know, everything, the universe is us. So it's constantly speaking to us if we open up to learn how to see it. Tamara put it in the chat, the link to the Daily OM course. And I like having, you know, I keep books. I have various things, tools that I keep over the year from my learnings. And let's see. All right, let's get you a caller. And again, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Hi, 206-459. You're on Awakenings Radio. Hello? 206-459, you're on Awakening. Okay. I'm not hearing them. 206-459. Okay. 508-933, you're on air. Did you have a question or comment? Okay, I hope people can hear me. Can people hear me? You must be able to hear me in the chat. Okay. So some people, you have your, here we go. Okay. If you're coming back to get a reading, press 1 on the keypad. I will try to get to you even if you don't. Hi, 347-303, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle, it's Tasha. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I was just listening and I heard you ask, you know, if can you hear me? I'm like, well, maybe I should press 1 then. I guess I can go ahead and ask the question since you were addressing it in reference to like a life partner or soul partner coming in. Do you see someone coming into my life?
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Oh, thank you, Tamara. Sound is great. Okay, great. All right. Give me your birth date, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. 10/15/74.
Okay. Okay, so you've got a lot of... See, that's the thing. When we're in... when you're in the change flow, that's, here we go. So right now, you should probably July, August for sure, start activating more socially is what I'm hearing. I do feel a stronger, more partnered relationship coming in for you. But right now, it's showing there's a lot to do with your own creativity and your own sense of self. Does that make sense?
Of course, yes, definitely.
Yeah, so there's not just a lot of healing that you're doing right now, but it's kind of all about you and your projects. And I feel that there's going to be some kind of... some kind of project. It's showing two pathways. You know what? And this is for a lot of you out there, and I've kind of been there too. At some point on the path, we kind of make some decisions that I'll do this, I won't do that. I'll tolerate this, I won't tolerate that. This is my focus right now. This is what's important to me. What we call mythologically sorting the seeds, you know, you have the archetype of Persephone who went into the underworld, right? Which is us going within, going deep inside into the subconscious or the, you know, collective unconscious, if you want to call it as well, you know, going in from local mind into universal mind to connect with the all that is and to start seeing the below the surface, the mystical, the magical, the wonder, the awe, and to connect with that part. But it's also that diving in, we come up against our fears or what's held us back. And there's certain tasks that we have to do. One of the tasks for everybody, and of course we learn of this in myth, and Joseph Campbell, of course, Marion Woodman, you know, great Jungian, had great Jungian focus, talked about myth, archetypal imagery. We see it in the tarot. What I see is when we go in the underground, there are, I can't think of the name of the Kalik syllabus. I can't think of the name. I can see it. Sirius. I can see the name, but I can't think of it. The three-headed dog. It's like, okay, that's the fate, past, present, future. It's like coming up against the fears of what's held us back, and we have to learn how to manage those or tame those. One of the other tasks is the sorting of the seeds. The other thing is sitting on the spinning wheel and spinning the silk, the yarn. So what I feel for you is you're in the seed sorting phase. And what that means to all of us contemporary beings on a contemporary level is we have to sort through or sift through our life of what's working, what's not working, what approach, what beliefs are supported, what people, what activities, what routines. This is the time, and I can see it so clearly with you, Tasha. I mean, intuitively, psychically, I'm seeing this road, and there's a fork to the left, to the right. You know, you're going to be leaving some people behind. Now, that just, yeah. Thank you, Tamara Cerebus, yes. Yes, so what does that mean? Now, it doesn't always mean, da-da-da, I'm never talking to you again. But what it means mentally in our emotional state, we leave a little extra space. We don't disconnect. See, this is the thing that's so powerful as being, because we're always connected anyway. We don't need to do the, I'm not talking to you anymore, we don't need to do proclamations. That's kind of majorly old school and, you know, very ego-based. But we let people or situations wind out or wind in, and we take that energy for ourselves, or we just leave it there because it's holding the space for something new to come in. I just had to do this with someone the other day, a response that they had to something I asked them, and it's a friendship probably every couple of years, it's a newer friendship, but it showed me where they were at, and I thought, okay, you don't cut off, but you see there's some learnings, and there's some things they're going through right now, and some learnings, and you can either kind of be the pull down the rabbit hole with them, or sometimes what happens, everybody knows this, right? People are going through something and we insist on overly helping them and they're not ready yet or being too much there for them, and you end up getting harpooned. You end up being the target. That's one thing you're learning right now, Tasha, not to be the target, to remove yourself. But we do it energetically. We do it emotionally, where middle way, Buddhists, we detach. We recognize there's connection. The love is always there. We're always spiritually connected. But we, at some point on the path, we have to say, my life is more important. It's a very high form of self-love. When you can say, because your life is, all of our lives are more important than anybody's because it's our life. When you come from that high level of love, self-love and self-acceptance, then you're giving from an open cup, you know, an overflowing cup. You're open. Because you're source, you're realizing, wow, you know, I'm saying I love everything and everyone and everybody's peachy except for me. So why am I not celebrating me? Yeah, so that's your next step. It's after that I feel that you draw in that mate. So right now you're still kind of clearing and sorting, because sometimes for some of us on the path, our higher self doesn't want us making the same, you know, boo-boos. It's just like, oh, yes. It doesn't want us going there again, right? It's like, no, you know this type of relationship. You don't want to draw this type of relationship in again, you know? So I feel it's really right now about you being open to yourself, your creativity, your self-expression. It's about, now, are there projects you want to do? I'm feeling like there's some kind of project. I don't know if it's an online course, if it's meditation, if it's something in a school system, but I feel like it's something like there will be some kind of handbook or curriculum.
I have been proposed lately, I'm going to do a domestic violence workshop coming up next week. And then after that, I was contracted to also do a seminar, which is going to take 2 full days. So yeah, you're on point.
Okay, yeah. Great. Now, have you started on those?
I have not, only because I've been studying for my marriage and family therapy license. I'm taking the state exam this Friday, so I've been kind of trying to focus.
And
on
then
that.
After that, okay. So see, it's after that's when I feel that this person comes in. So sometimes. Sometimes I always love this story. It was a dear friend of mine and also a client years ago, and actually kind of a miracle. She had a, you know, well, not really a miracle. I mean, kind of the mainstream, because I know a lot of women in the mid-40s and even early 50s that have had children, some with in vitro and some not. And she got married and she said, I want to have a kid, this and that, and then. And she actually even went to a well-known psychic that said she won't have kids. I won't name the name. And I said, yes, you will have a child. I said, you'll have one. I said, but it's after your art show. It's after this whole part of your life is integrated. And nothing happened for kind of a year or two. And she was kind of in her mid-40s. And so she kind of gave up and said, I'm going to just go dive into my art. She dove into her art. And I don't know, 6-8 months, a year max, she was pregnant. And she's got a, they both have a very heavy, you know, healthy daughter. Now. So we don't know. This is why sometimes it's so hard to compare paths, because we don't know what's that ingredient. And that's kind of what I help people see, because as a seer, I can see this. What is coming in and what is in your soul path? What's in your soul design that's going to manifest on your path? But sometimes there's a piece or a couple pieces that we need to do, puzzle right. pieces that need to be fit in. Right? So we resonate with that person that we want to draw in. And so I feel the person when you meet, you're going to be doing a lot more of your own individual work, a lot more of your individual teaching, something with this curriculum or you know, syllabus, and you even confirmed it. So you're going to be working more group. There's more teaching community public aspect of you than just working one-on-one when you meet this individual.
That's next month, yeah.
That makes sense. I don't know if it's next. No, I think it's after. No, I feel it's when you. It's after next month. There's a shift in the energy, and maybe I'll say June, July, where I feel you're around some new people and more different events, social events.
Okay.
So there's the opening starting to happen. I would say it could be. I would say for sure either around your birthday or after your birthday. That's when the cycle changes. You'll be making a decision and be more in a domestic, romantic, kind of emotional exchange relationship where there's this reciprocity. The thing is, for you, what's going to draw it in synchronistically is these classes that you're doing, the syllabus. So
right.
until you do that, your resonance isn't there yet, you see. That piece has to be there. Yeah. So whatever that means to you, it's not so much just what you're doing, it's what you feel about what you're doing and how your energy changes. You're not going to be over-involved with some certain people and family members and drama. Your energy is not going to be able to be there as much. So to draw in this man, you have to shift, and you're just now starting the shift. To a certain set of circumstances, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So certain set of circumstances, yeah, you're backing up a bit. So because ask anybody, and I'm finding, you know, relationships take a lot of time and energy. They take a lot of time and energy. So if, you know, if we have, as well as a healing practice, we can decide, do I want to put that time and energy into family or friend drama, trauma? Do I want to be caught up in that? Because sometimes what will happen is the universe, if you sublimate your desires, it's kind of twofold, because sometimes it's timing issue and you're meant to do that. It's not time for that one-on-one. Or it's not time for the career, or whatever, the baby, or whatever. It's a timing issue. But sometimes we've so much put our energy into something that there's not the space mm-hmm. for that person to come in. So the universe kind of looks over you and goes, okay, they're done. They're filled up there. They're fulfilled enough. This is what they're choosing as a proxy or facsimile. So but you will know that by when you're faced with decisions in your life where you can see, is there enough of exchange of an energy here? Other than children or animal beings, I mean, those that are more dependent on us, you know, but even that, I've worked with people that, you know, they're so wrapped up in their teenager's life overly or they've made their, you know, daughter or son their, you know, an emotional incest. They've made their daughter or son their emotional partner, and then they're wondering why they're not attracting anybody or no one stays with them. And it's like, well, because you really are not available emotionally.
Right.
You know,
it's
or the job. So,
I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's interesting because when I first called, like my solar plexus, it was kind of like nervous. And as soon as you started saying everything, it's kind of like it calmed down. It's like everything makes sense. Everything's on path. It was like a calming effect. So thank you, Michelle.
Oh, nice. You're so welcome. So you see you're on your path. You're on the next step. You're on the right step. You're moving forward. It's just you have some, you know, some last little details to wrap up.
Yeah.
Or some are saying, you know, in the chat, freeing up. So some of them, yeah, it's also freeing up. I agree.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling in. Blessings. Oh, what a great question, or, you know, dialogue to have. Because sometimes so much of where we're at depends on our consciousness, you know, and our consciousness changes. We have the chance to expand and heal. Okay, as promised, so excited. We have Dr. Elliot Maynard back on the program. And he's just a wealth of information. Many of you may have I've shared with you some of his passages and paragraphs in his book, specifically on subtle energy management. And I love this. I want to read something really quickly. Breakthrough involves creating a new pattern or paradigm rather than improving on an old one. Improving the old is perfect change. Creating breakthrough is transformative change. There is a transformation to a new state. When you change the energy, you change the mass. Changing the energy can be as simple as rearranging your home. Another example might include taking a weekend to do something entirely new. By breaking old established patterns and bringing something fresh and new into our lives, we discover not only does our situation change, but we also begin to view the world from an entirely new perspective. By changing the mass relationships, which in turn cause the energy relationships in our homes and professional workplaces to shift correspondingly. I love the book. It's by my bedside. And those of you know, I have a lot of authors on it. I don't count all of the books. I'll just be polite usually. But the book, Brave New Mind, Living in a Future Science World, and the author is Dr. Elliot Maynard, who's a leading edge consciousness scientist and conceptual designer. His background spans the fields of zoology, coral reef ecology, oceanography, tropical rainforest biology. He also earned a PhD in consciousness research, and he's also served on the faculties of Delphi University and Dowling College in New York. He's also a certified professional consultant to management, and he's also the founder and president of Arcos Celios Foundation, which is located in Sedona. Wonderful way to take a trip. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Elliot Maynard. Welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a pleasure.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome back for round two. We've had a lot of requests for you to come back, and because we just barely touched the surface. One of the things, by the way, how are you doing? Because you seem so busy with all...
Oh, I'm all fine. I'm rocking right on here.
I love it. Well, we had a couple questions come in. One was about your foundation, the meaning of the word, and what do you actually do, and what is this idea of this future society? And even in the book you talk about future science world. If you could kind of dive into that for our listeners.
Okay. Well, when we first came to Sedona about 35 years ago, actually it was Christmas Day. We came down here where we now have the property, and we saw a triple rainbow over one of the very close and beautiful formations of red rock here. And we equated that Arcos Cielos doesn't mean rainbow in Spanish, but it means an arc in the heavens. And it symbolizes the bridging of science, modern science and technology, with our ancient wisdom and the celebration of our intuitive senses, which I feel we need to bring back right into the education system from children's earliest times, because this is what carried humans through as a major survival factor in times when they had to be alert and hunt predators or be hunted, all these things. So it bridges art and science, it bridges traditional medicine and the latest technology in medicine. And because we bridge the ancient and modern, we can take the best of both and come out with something entirely new, and that lifts us right into this new framework, which I have created in the book, a new operating system for humans and for planet Earth. And your other question, I can't remember it now.
Well, okay, the foundation, and about, talk about living in a future science world, and also we're active in World Future Society, the aerospace technology. What is this future science world? What is it, something we're living now, or is it something that you're seeing that's coming in?
It's already happening. And I'll go back to the World Future Society, which we've been institutional members, and I've worked with and made presentations there over the years. And I came to the conclusion that the majority of futurists, as they call themselves, are essentially using old linear techniques to extrapolate into the future. However, those of us who are surfing the leading edge, the waves of change here, know that things such as wild cards come up. These are entirely unexpected events, like, let's say, the business with Tesla Motors and the new batteries.
Right.
This, there was no way to predict this exponentially. So I say that instead of being a glorified bean counter, we need to not just, real futurists don't just extrapolate for trends, they create the future themselves, and that's what we're all doing. And the trigger, the switch for this is, first of all, the awareness that we can do this and that it's possible. Everyone can do this. Anyone can do this.
Okay, that's what I was going to, like, question too. If you say anyone can do this, how does one begin? Because I'm seeing a lot of what you're talking about, especially in the book, because you've taken some, you know, the science, you've taken some things, especially the subtle energy, which is my passion, part of my passion and purpose, working the bat, and you've woven together, you know, from foods to, you know, working psychically, you know, there's a wonderful biology, there's a wonderful weaving, like you said, the science and spirituality, consciousness. I'm wondering, because from reading this and then what your just statement you made, it sounds like in a way where, you know, they call it global citizens or international citizens, it sounds like we are becoming or opening to becoming more of this. More of this kind of blended being. Is that kind of where you're going? Is this handled to, like, retrain ourselves?
Absolutely, and it's happening. It's happening in ways that, again, were totally unexpected by the New Age folks who were leading the charge 20 and 10 years ago. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Things are changing. It's the rate of change that is accelerating so fast that all one has to do is go on the internet and look at one of the news feeds, and you will see miracles that in technology, in medicine, people are reaching out and creating, as you suggested, a global family, which is what we need to do. And this goes back to the astronauts' view, their first view of Earth from space, which was first by television and then the astronauts themselves. And this is called the overview effect. Earth is one family. We're one species. And this is, you don't see the borders. You don't see the national borders or the states or any of that anymore. And so within this consciousness, technology, the gifts of technology, mainly the internet and the brand new layers of satellites are creating new layers of global consciousness. So the global brain itself is also evolving, co-evolving with humans, and we need to anchor ourselves into this energy. You spoke about this in certain ways, and bring the children outdoors and let them fish and do things that require a kind of focus, concentration. We've become, I like to say tongue-in-cheek, that we've been hunter-gatherers, and we got really good at it. And now, unfortunately, we've overshot the mark, and sadly, many of us have become hunter-hoarders.
Yes. Yes, and I've been seeing, one quick question. So what are we evolving to? What would, as citizens, not just global citizens, there's this opening that's happening that we're becoming a new form, I would say, of being, type
yes.
of human being.
Yes, and what is happening is that these new technology layers, just one example of how technology serves as a spiritual or consciousness wave guide is I was very curious about why the TVs and tablets and any screen you look at, why there was such a race to go to higher and higher definitions.
Well, yes,
if you back up
yes.
a little bit, we know from the psychic community that light information from the higher realms or from the quantum field is transmitted to humans in light encoded packets. And when you think of looking at a television screen, if you remember the old tube models, how coarse they were, these are pixels, and pixels are light encoded packets. So now we have a millions of times more resolution of this information packed into one screen, and our consciousness is the couch potatoes of the world are getting a dose of refinement, even if they're watching almost anything you can think of, the commercials, even some of them in HD.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now you can that can lead you either up or down depending on it's your choice. It's our choice.
Exactly. So where are we? What would we call it? Where are we going? Because to me, it's like this hybrid. It's like this. You know, we can't think anymore just about global being locational. It's this mindset. It seems like this emotional intelligence. This psychic or intuitive awareness. It seems that there's this, I don't know, codifying or this amalgamation of these focuses or gifts that are coming together in so many of us that will literally, I think, cause us to live differently.
Yes, and it's the old 100th monkey phenomenon, which I speak about in the book, but it simply means when a certain number of people begin to operate coherently within at least a basic agreement, just as this talk radio show, we're all forming part, if we make it so, of a living consciousness fabric. And that is going out worldwide, and it's multiplied exponentially. So we have very powerful technology that we can activate using consciousness, and it is changing the world because people in very remote places, especially ladies and others who have been repressed by cultural restrictions and old paradigms, they're able to get out little bits and pieces of what they're doing in the various countries where they have to cover their bodies up and all of this, you know, just as an example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it is shifting the consciousness to be, you know, more, it sounds like awake, aware, more present, for one thing, too, I think.
Yes,
right?
And I think what we're witnessing, if I can be a little bit crude, is that, you know, the old bumper sticker that says, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off, so... What we're doing is feeling this angst, and it's a global thing because there's a German word called Weltschmerz, which means a world bummer or an ugly face on the world, you know, an angry world, and we need to put a smiley face on the world. And we can turn that around, and we're doing so. It's bringing the anger out in people that are going that way. It's bringing the fear out, the fear of change, the fear of healing, the fear of taking responsibility and taking it one bite at a time if you've got an elephant to eat. And this is it, when people start to do this, to confront their problems and take care of them one at a time, it brings a great, it releases the anxiety and brings a great comfort. That alone is one thing we can do. And any of us can do it, but it takes resolution and it takes focus.
It does seem to be bringing out for some a lot of anger. There does seem to be a lot of energy. Some people are processing it differently. Some people feeling stuck, stagnant, like they kind of deer in the headlights. Like, and then I hear some people saying, I'm waiting for it to get back. When is this going to be over? There's a certain sect that says, well, are we going to get back to how it used to be?
Well, think of a surfer out there, and it's quite calm, but there's a storm in the distance in the Pacific, say, and these big waves, these big swells come through. We just wait for the next wave and catch it and surf it, because it takes commitment, and this is why I entitled the book Brave New Mind. It takes courage to go ahead and commit yourself to transformation, because as you spoke with your callers earlier, sometimes you got to leave certain things behind, and that's not always easy. And one little humorous saying for you out there, my wife came up with this, is that when somebody tries to drag you down into their drama vortex and you just realize what they're doing, trying to take your energy and tie you up, you can say, okay, you can say or you can think it and then say it if you need to. Not my monkey, not my circus.
Oh, I like that. Not my monkey, not my service. Love that. Now, we did have another question that came in that we started to touch on last time, and it's very controversial. A lot of questions around it. HAARP. You touch on it in your book, the HAARP Project, and you have even a chapter that's called An Example of Tesla Technology in Action. If you wouldn't mind, because there seems to be a lot, even though there's been a car named Tesla, you know, now, I mean, you're hearing more Tesla, Tesla, Tesla. And then you couple that this is Tesla technology in action. And then you have some people saying, you know, HAARP is the government. It's doing this and that to us. It's, you know, it was put out by the government and all these rays that are coming at us or energetic, you know, kind of, frequencies. So people are all over the place today. If you can kind of demystify that a little bit for us.
Okay, well, HAARP essentially is messing with the chamber, so-called, between the top of our atmosphere, the ionosphere, and the surface of the Earth. And what's normal is that there are thousands and thousands of lightning storms going on all over the world, and the thunder resonates this cavity and causes a sort of a ringing like a bell. This is the so-called Schumann resonance, and it's very critical. It's like the heartbeat of Earth, and it's critical as an overlying frequency to support and for good health for all living forms, including plants and animals. This is our God-given heritage, along with, you know, clean air, this resonant cavity that is not messed with for experimental purposes of who knows what. Now, what they've been doing is
and what is it called? What is it called? You say resonant cavity? Could you say that again? What is it?
Yes. There's a resonant cavity formed between the top of the atmosphere, which is called the ionosphere, and the surface of the Earth. And so if you can imagine the thunderstorms creating these waves that go all around the Earth, so it's always going, it's about 6.8 beats per second. It's called hertz, 6.8 hertz. And this is very important for all life, so that when HAARP starts using this, it's a very powerful tool for weather modification. It's used for some kinds of satellite guidance and the ability to find other enemy, you know, rockets or whatever, or ships in the atmosphere.
Right.
Now, this has been done without the public's knowledge, and
okay.
I had a channeling session one time with one of the Arcturian councils, and they claimed that they had violated their non-intervention treaty and had to patch up the ozone layer on three or four occasions, and they said they couldn't believe how our scientists could be so stupid, you know, doing this kind of thing. And so that's the little two bits I have to throw in there, along with any other questions you have. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the thing is it harmful?
Well,
is it being used harmfully, or does it have the potential to be something that is beneficial?
Well, that's a good question, because not many people want to ask that question. But yes, any technology, any new technology in itself is not necessarily either good nor bad. It's how we use it and how we apply it. Genetic engineering is a perfect example of this, since it's actually, when you really look at it, from a kind of a helicopter viewpoint, you realize it's speeding up the natural and intervening selective processes. If we're subscribing to the theory that ETs have intervened and hybridized with humans, and I think this has been done. And so, whenever you begin to use this kind of technology, it requires wisdom and judgment. So it's testing us in the highest sense. In other words, we either get it together and learn how to use this gift, or we're going down with a ship.
Yeah, I see. So now, what does this, an example of Tesla technology in action, I guess to touch on a little bit Tesla and what does this mean, the Tesla technology, and it seems that there's such more of an interest, I think in the 80s there was as well, but there seems to be a resurgence on Tesla, you know, even what you're writing, consciousness, spirituality, the science, there seems to be a resurgence of all of this kind of coming more to the surface.
Absolutely. And you see, Tesla was a genius, but he was a genius because he was able to tap into this quantum field and actually create these inventions and run them and debug them in his mind. And one of the things he came up with was a wireless electrical transmission system, but he got co-opted by the big powers that be, Edison and company, and now we have these ugly power lines strung all over the country, which makes us very vulnerable. They're old technology, industrial technology, and we could have had wireless transmission years ago. People are now picking this up. They're using his principles. He was a person who could sense resonance to the point where he would use harmonics. I'll give you a little example of the kind of thing. When soldiers are marching and they would go over a bridge, this came out in World War I and World War II, if they're called to break step, to break cadence, because if they march over that bridge, it can set up a resonance, and the waves begin to superimpose so that it gets bigger and bigger and the whole bridge can start to sway and go down. This same system was created on that bridge up in California that was destroyed by the wind. They actually videotaped it. So that's a example of how harmonic resonance can, how powerful it is, and how it can go out of control if you don't know about it and understand it.
Wow. Now, this seems to be so important for us in this new paradigm that we're all co-creating, this new system, and I love how you also speak about, you know, we're not just improving the old, it's literally creating, you know, a new society, new way of being, a new system. I think you have a word, actually a phrase for it as well. What does this mean to this new system?
Well, okay, what does what mean to the new system? The Tesla technology?
Well, like Tesla technology, or as you were saying, the resonance, that seems, I keep hearing a lot about energy and resonance, and even in your book, and then, of course, there's people becoming more aware of subtle energy. Tamara in the chat is putting, we're conscious of the quantum field more and more. So she's also saying, I love his language and things. I guess, what does this mean to us individually? And you do go through it in the book a bit, but just for our listeners, is it knowing this? Is it living from this with this awareness?
Boy, that pretty well sums it up. Actually, what I created, just to review a little bit, was a whole new operating system. This is analogous to a computer, you know, your new mm-hmm. Windows 10 or whatever. So I figured the old paradigms weren't working. We're still being tripped up like football players running through the tires by these old rigid paradigms. And many of them are back in the Industrial Revolution and God knows how many centuries back. So this new paradigm that I have created is essentially flexible. So it's always perfectly adapted to the time, to the moment it is used. And it mainly involves an awareness and learning to work in this quantum field, which has been there all the time, but now we can do it consciously for the simple reason that our vibrational frequency has gotten to the point where they call it the ascension frequency. And we can dip into this much more easily. Now we don't need to go in a cave for 30 years. We can actually start to do this immediately. I'm sure you and many of your listeners have experienced how easy it is to slip into a five-minute meditation, even at work or on the bus or anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about people doing this, learning to do this,
and
integrating this part of them.
And again, there's the old squirrel mind, you know, the linear mind just doesn't want to move from its position of comfort, and just like people who get embroiled in government positions, and what happens is they get so fixated on that part of the issue that they don't focus on getting the job done and getting on with the program and the process. So it involves conscious awareness. We're trained to be very negative about things. This is one of the major problems. If they didn't have anything nice to say on the internet, then don't say anything about it.
So,
because if you don't have a life, don't waste other people's time trying to look at me, am I cute, this kind of thing. If someone comes up with a new idea, give them the space. They've gone to a lot of trouble. Very few, really, percentage-wise, are hoaxers. And if you want to criticize them, there are creative ways to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're saying, and actually that, of course, we talked about, it's so interesting, this ties in at the beginning of the program, we were talking about how thought is a form of energy. So you're kind of confirming that. So people writing those things or putting those thoughts out there, what I'm hearing you say is actually does affect us.
Wow, yeah, and that's really nice because you got it, and you that's a new idea for me, actually, yes. And the blogging is an example of the power of one person. Anyone in the world who has access to a computer and can do this can blog. So don't abuse that power. And I tell them, look, you want to immediately shoot the messenger, some guy that comes up with this new scheme to help fertilize the oceans. Don't shoot the messenger because you're shooting yourself in the foot, really, and you're cutting yourself. You won't get any more mail, right? Don't shoot the mailman. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You bring up a really, there's people talking about in the chat as well. There is this, for some reason, and I remember reading something on it, some research, that back in the day, gossip was the lowest form of connecting, you know, around the water cooler or way back when it was around the water well, whatever. And so talking negatively about someone or other people and people converging around that, do you think in this new paradigm, this new system, that will either lessen or change? Because it seems to be a common denominator. You do.
Well, you know, I grew up in New England, and the weather's nasty there, and people tend to, and they do this in the military, too. You know, they bring bitching to a whole new, or griping to a whole new level, and really, ultimately, it's a waste of your energy. There are much
right.
better ways to put your energy out, even if it's just assisting somebody, helping them with a package, anything you can do. So, again, this is a waste of energy. So put your energy into something positive, because each person in the world can make a difference, and collectively and coherently is the other reason, meaning we do have a basis of understanding and communication. Everyone who's tuned into this show, they've already accepted that. So at least we have common
mm-hmm.
grounds, even if we disagree yeah. with each other.
Yeah, I'm always amazed people that post this just negative or had a bad day or life sucks or whatever. And I'm like, or their problems. I'm like, how is that helping anybody? I just really want to know. You know, I think reaching out to people or messaging somebody, people that really can help, or if it's, you know, if it's asking, I don't know, they have these funding things like Kickstarter or, you know, somebody needs help with medical bills or something. But just the horrible kind of, like you said, shooting the messenger kind of stuff, I'm not really sure why that was ever, how that helps anybody. And it probably what I'm hearing from you, it does the opposite.
Absolutely. And
kind of drags us down.
Yeah, why I mention this is because this is one simple way we all could help change the world. And it's not easy. I think that being judgmental is like almost in our blood. It's in our society.
Yes.
We've been programmed by
yeah.
our parents. And, this new idea, what's the matter with you? Shame on you? These kind of whatever possessed you? I've had my parents say these things to me, and I went, woo,
oh, yeah.
that's heavy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Or who do you think you are out there? Who
yeah,
do you think
exactly,
I'll tell you?
Exactly.
My thing was I knew who I was. Yeah.
Like, not opposed,
but some people don't. Yeah,
the tough
huh?
love, you know, and a whack on the side of the head once in a while. But you know, there is a
but
a
not
grace
to quelt
and,
your spirit. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And
the way to do it
in all things, it's a balance. Good parents know that.
Yeah. You talk a lot also about in the book conscious techniques for creating future science artworks and manifesting
yes.
future science artworks. And the co-creative process, we hear a lot about this, the co-creation, community, collaboration. I call them the COs. Why is this so important? And, you know, kind of where are we going in with this creativity? It seems like people are going to be, from reading your book, more creative perhaps, or just releasing their creativity.
Well, in a real school system and a real scientific institution, creativity should be celebrated, and having experience in many years in the university system, curiosity and creativity should be rewarded, and not instead of having these norms, so-called, which are nasty words, of statistical scores, they're trying to make everybody putting in that same slot. Instead, each individual should be encouraged to develop from their own center and then add on other skills and communication skills so they can eventually start to form little groups of like-minded people. And there's a lot of power embodied in this. And there's so much power that the institutions like the church in history would come down on these people hard. That's why they went after the Essenes and other groups who were trying to bring the truth to the world. Now we have apparently reached the point where the world is ready, because they realize at some level that they are going to need to step up to the plate, take their responsibility, and we all, those who do so, need to work together because of strength in numbers, and we need to find common ground too.
Mm-hmm. So there is, it's interesting because I one thing I do hear in what you're saying is a lot about this coming together synthesis, whether it's ideas or science, art, spirituality, the, you know, consciousness, medicine. You even talk about medicine, new forms of medicine, as well as breakthrough stem cell. And sounds like a lot of the changes that you're talking about are, Dr. Maynard, already happening, and you're noticing them and quantifying them for us, saying, pointing them out and bringing them together so that I get that I can see that we are in this evolutionary process already.
Right, right. And remember that due to the scheme of things, if you really step back and imagine yourself in the higher realms looking down at people, you realize how important it is for us to wake up. And the other thing that I tell people, they ask, how can I access this quantum field? And I say, look, we are taught never to believe anything we cannot prove to be true. And, of course, if you're into science or education, that means statistically. And they spend hours and sometimes days and years just fooling around with the statistics. The new science mm-hmm. continues to evolve and celebrates search instead of research. In other words, beating the dead horse. Mm-hmm. You get on with it. You keep inventing new things. You refine it. Tesla Motors is a good example of this. And so we need to break out of these old chains that we're not even aware of. And by discussing them and discussing them kind of in everyday terms, we are able to transfer a little bit of our own confidence. And if we mm-hmm. still have a positive attitude in the world, that's also a nice thing to spread. So what we're doing is spreading positive memes. Mem is a little thought form, if you will. I don't like to talk about it as a virus, but it will multiply in a positive way exponentially, and that's the power that we have with this Blog Talk Radio. This is just a phenomenon that's been around for, 10 years, if that, really?
I mean, yeah, if that, yeah.
It had radio shows, but not this. And so this is another very, very powerful tool that is really fairly inexpensive. I mean, people can do this, and they don't have to travel, so it's also ecologically sustainable.
I love that. I used to do television. I had a television show, talk show, and let me tell you, there's a lot to be said about not having to get up early, the hair, the makeup, what are you going to wear, the color doesn't look good, you have to have this image. It's like, and if you reach people, you know, all over the world, you know, which is just amazing.
Well, that's part
of the technology, too, the layers that you talk about.
Ultimately, what's coming down to me right now is that, you know, it's hard to speak for us to speak of things in the higher realm because our language is created in a linear way, and we really don't have words for a lot of the phenomena. So I have made it a point to either experience almost everything I've written about in the book myself or know people who I trust who have communicated information about ETs and other things like this. Now, I tell people, instead of not believing anything you can't prove to be true, flick a little switch in your mind. Open yourself to the possibilities. It's that simple. And then kind of keep that gently in your mind, and I guarantee you that things will change and happen for you in ways you've never expected them to. So you open yourself not to disbelieve anything you cannot prove to be untrue. Okay? It's that simple. And then your mind, your squirrel mind is able to accept the fact that, someone's got this idea about, let's take an example. Skeletons that were giant skeletons in our history. And I was dubious about all this only, say, 8 months ago. I started to research it. Research, Google in your search engine, you put in your search engine, giant skeletons in history. You will find that they were common in the 17th, 18th, even 19th century. They were all anchored into news articles. And some of these giant skeletons are over 30 feet tall. They're huge, and they're all over the world. And the Smithsonian and other archaeologists, apparently for their reasons of political correctness or whatever, religious, you know, evolutionary theory, they squirreled away these skeletons in the Smithsonian and disappeared them in other places. And if you don't believe it, you will be amazed, I guarantee.
I love this idea of just being more open. you know, some people say we are kind of come to these times of bigger, grander, more expanded evolution. You know, at certain times, you know, chronologically, you know, in life, certain, you know, every 100 years, 500 years, which to some degree, I suppose that is true. But do you feel that we're at a new level that hasn't been done before? Is there a departure point? Is there something different about this shift, quantum leap, if you will?
Absolutely, and I am so deeply convinced of it. I can't prove it, but I can give you the examples that I've been giving, and the mm-hmm. truth is in front of us. It's just that since we haven't had, we're not repeating events. These are new events. People don't know. You know, you can't see the forest for the trees. It's the old sort of thing.
Right.
It's happening all around
yeah.
us. And the
yeah.
one thing that I think is fundamental to all of this. This is one of the most addictive. Humans are subject to addiction, so I figure you might as well get addicted to something positive. This is
right.
one of the most addicting kind of pathways to travel, those who just want to search for the truth and share it with others. And even this particular radio show, for instance, generates a certain feeling inside us. And I find it with all of the you know, speed bumps and pratfalls
mm-hmm.
that each of us have taken in our lives to have to learn, that this is one of the most rewarding things that we can achieve. If you want to call it bliss or love or whatever, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're sharing it, and it's something that is greater than, it's certainly greater than human capability to describe it. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm talking about.
I would agree. It's just, yeah, it's hard to describe, but I mean, I've been doing it, you know, who knows for how long, but that kind of that interconnecting, and that we can be, like I said, you know, all over the world doing it, you know, kind of get your little insight, inspiration shot, you know, confirmation, affirmation. Yeah, it's very... and as well as the tools, and people having guests like you that come on that are sharing your take on things and that have, you know, some system or book or something that can also help people, because people are looking, how do I navigate this? They, you know, especially many people that are newly waking up are saying, you know, I need to find, what, there is a new way. And that's why I asked you about that, because I do feel that there are a lot of things, but like you said earlier, information is changing. That some things that worked 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago are not working now. You know, that we have to, you know, I don't know, bring a contemporary meaning
yes.
or understanding or contemporary tools. Somehow we have to contemporize the tools.
Yes.
It's something that I'm seeing as
well. That's very important. And I just wish this discussion would take place in all universities and in high
yeah.
schools and private schools. And you know, I listened to a presentation by a man named Alfred Weber, who is considered the father of exopolitics. In other words, ET, the whole business of it. He's a Canadian, and you know what he said? He said, it's about time we put, let's call it occult, hidden phenomena, all of these terms we're using in UFOs and ETs into the education system. And I went,
yeah,
wow, that's,
yeah,
that
is, I agree.
Already in the education system, in these programs that we're doing. And the strange thing is, if you look at scholars or scientists, myself included, you see an interview and we get several, maybe if we're lucky, several hundred hits or a thousand or several thousand, but look at the Sasquatch finding, you know, the latest, or some new temple has been discovered, any of the so-called ancient, now they call it the ancient alien theories and all of this, but
right.
if you look at the hits they're getting hundreds of thousands and millions.
Yeah.
That's like the public speaking, you know.
Yes. I would definitely, definitely agree.
And nobody can take that away. I mean, people are hungry for this. And so that hunger, I think it's the hunger for this experience of sharing and caring. And I think this is going to be the new norm for the world. It's going to happen globally because eventually the military, there are a lot of people in the military that listen to shows like this, and they're studying stuff. And when they get into that, they sign up for it, and they have to serve their time. And many of them are just trying to figure out how to get out of there without getting injured or killed, you know.
Injured or, absolutely.
And they're searching for this because they're under very heavy evolutionary pressure.
Definitely.
War is one of the greatest, let's say, tools for getting people to act as heroes, but it's not the best way to do it. There are other ways to do it.
No.
And we need to
fix
that.
Yeah, those more, absolutely. And those other ways are coming into form more. Thank you so much. We're out of time. I'm so glad you could come back. And, of course, you've got the open invite anytime. And also, you can also send me anything that you have going on, any speaking engagements or workshops or talks, and we'll let our listeners know. Thanks so much, Dr. Elliott, for being on the program.
And thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate your insight, and thank you, all of our listeners, for listening to us. And hopefully you've taken something away that will make it a little easier and give you a little bit more space to relax and move ahead in your life.
Definitely. I know they have. Okay. And that was Dr. Elliott Maynard. The book that we've been talking about is Brave New Mind, Living in a Future Science World, available where all books are available. You can also go to his website, Arcoscielos, and that's ArcoscielOS.com. Always great to connect with all of you. Have a great Memorial Day, those of you that will be celebrating that, or whatever you do for the during the weekend and the next week, and we will see you back here next Wednesday. And until then, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, SpiritLedLiving.com. Keep awake.